only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
What a crazy day this has already been. You guys, it's Taking It Personally. So excited to be joined once again by return guest and tipper, content creator, that's not it, culture commentator, and housewives writer, and teller of opinion and fact. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Lewis Peitzman.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm a little drunk on love, which is what happens when we start talking about just Kristen Doty, where I just feel like I'm losing myself.
It's so easy to, I know.
It's easy to get lost in the ocean.
Absolutely.
And what's a life preserver to get us out? I know. West.
West.
He's so attractive.
It was so funny in the first episode where, like, he kind of had that thing where, when Jesse Solomon showed up, where he was like...
Delicious.
But he was worried he was going to be overshadowed by this kind of taller, hunkier man. But West is so attractive. Jesse Solomon's just like Hebrew school hot, which is can be very hot, but it's like that's like a
I don't agree with that.
You don't think he's Hebrew school hot?
No, I think he's very attractive outside of Hebrew school. Hebrew school and Sunday school, by the way. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. I'm saying every day of the
week. Teeth make me uncomfortable.
Haven't noticed them, haven't thought about it. We'll never think about it again. Well, I don't know.
He's smiling too much. Anyway, the point is, nothing against Jesse Solomon. Except to say that West is clearly the breakout star. They're both doing great work.
I'm not going to in any way minimize the joy that Jesse Solomon brings me. The joy that he brings me, the girl in the jacuzzi at 2 in the middle of the night. Like, he just, representation matters. And we need, as Jews, we need to see a Jewish fuckboy.
He is.
We deserve
it. He is.
We need to see. He's a Labradoodle. He's a surfer energy.
When I say Hebrew school hot,
he gives me snowboard.
He's like also kind of like Cantor coded. Because he's always singing. And he just feels like he'd be like the hot Cantor at your temple who you were like, I think I have a crush on the Cantor. No, I'm just me.
Nope.
All right.
Just you.
All right. Well,
I'm
wish
just
him
blanking.
Well. Wish him well.
I don't know what his bar mitzvah theme was, but I think it was One Day I'll Fall in Love with Sarah.
I am really grateful for his presence and for West because I feel like this season could be so dark, and we've had dark summer house seasons before, and
yes.
It doesn't feel dark now, even though it's like a pit of despair in many ways. Like
in the beginning, Bereshit.
It's really...
Let there be light.
It's grim. It's like grim stuff. Like, yes, there is watching, like, Carl and Lindsay's relationship implode, and that should never have been in the first place, but also, like, I've never been more convinced that Kyle and Amanda should not have gotten married and they hate each other and they just like are the worst match than I have after this last episode.
Okay, but back to West and Jesse
Solomon.
It's like just going off because I'm, listing things that I remember from Sunday school 800 years ago. It's like Noah's Ark where the animals got on 2x2 is that we needed them to come together and it wouldn't be as sweet if they weren't together. And as seen in the mid-season trailer, there's going to be an unexpected health setback or question for Jesse. I'm hoping that everything turns out to be okay. We've heard him talk about his experiences as a cancer survivor. I am just the level of vulnerability that he shared, not only in talking about what he has gone through, but in that trailer when he's saying, the doctors think they... just the to be continued of that in that moment where he's crying in his room and West is holding them. And I'm just thinking, like, these two wonderful men. I mean, Menches it all.
Yeah.
Is what I want to say. Like, it's
Is that your episode title?
I think it is now. Like, it's just, I appreciate them. I appreciate casting. Whoever did this, whoever put this miracle out into the world deserves something that I'm sure they're not getting.
I
love
so
them
right
both
about
so
them
much.
Both being part of it because I think that people keep comparing it to when Paige and Hannah joined the show.
What?
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
A lot of people. Because in terms of like they came on the show and sort of changed the direction.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's true. Adding one person has rarely worked.
Yes, we need a duo.
Like, even when it seems to work, like Gabby last season now has vanished. Like I think you need to be a duo because otherwise, like, you get swallowed by this show because
into a hole.
Whose
hole?
let's not even go there, because of the fact that, like, this is a show that is based on real relationships,
yeah,
and people who've known each other forever, and mm-hmm. it's very hard to just be a newcomer into that. Like, mm-hmm. even if they kind of embrace you,
yeah,
you're always an outsider.
You need to have the Haftorah as well. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be one. There were two Hebrew monologues that we had to learn. And I remember that my Haftorah was, like, really fucked up. And I was
don't
like,
remember.
Oh, I 100. Well,
is that the one you read?
It was the second one. I just remember in the order of performances in the program.
Is that your bat mitzvah?
It was bat mitzvah. Yeah, yeah, it was Torah and then at a certain point Haftorah. And I remember, first off, I got super nervous backstage, which is what I'm going to call it. And my rabbi was like, just pretend it's a one woman show. And I said, copy that.
What was your portion?
Oh, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Of course not. I barely knew it, but I do remember.
But it was so recent.
It was so recent. It was 7.5 years ago, or 9 or 13. But I remember, like, oh, I'm going to fuck up the Haftorah, but, like, the Torah is my favorite part. And then I fucked up the Torah, and then the Haftorah, I just remember I got real peppy. I was, like, into it, like, doing my shit, getting it done.
I don't remember the Haftorah. My portion was Noah, which is a good one.
How do you remember that?
Because it was Noah's Ark. I mean, how do you forget?
Oh, yeah. I don't. I must maybe like
giving
back.
It's like Noah's Ark in the Tower of Babel. It's easy.
What's the thing you do before you enter, or before you open the... What, dun, 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 dun. No, that's not it. What's the thing that, like, you say and then they say it back? I'm so sorry to all the Jews listening.
Oh, I'm not going to...
Can you just do a little bit of it? Because it's playing in my head, but I'm not getting it. Just do a little bit.
I can't.
Okay, great. Okay. I will know it as soon as we get off of this.
Yeah,
recording.
You got it. It's that.
I'll have it. I haven't been to the temple in a while, but
if I knew that there was a cantor there who looked like Jesse Solomon, even though I prefer West.
You don't want to sexualize your cantor, though. No. I want to go to Shabbat with Jesse and then do other things with Jesse.
Well,
he is so cute and definitely a fuck boy, but like a sweet one.
Did you see that West accidentally posted his balls on Instagram?
I didn't see the balls, but I did hear about it.
Okay. I wish him well. I just think he's like, I just also like in addition to like him being a fun presence on the show, he's also just like
me.
When he talks about media, like, and layoffs and stuff like that, it's like a little too real, but also I appreciate it because I think what's cool about Summer House is that they do have real jobs and they're not that famous and they're not that wealthy. Like, and they live in New York as I do. So I like that part of it. Like that they feel like peers who are like hotter, more famous, but like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They feel like people that I could know.
I did appreciate when he was talking to his great aunt Robin, who is obviously
an icon,
an all-star, want to have try one of her margaritas
on the show,
with a husky.
Like, when they cast you, they're like, do you have an older relative we could have you film with? Because
does she like to make a cocktail in the middle of the afternoon?
Yeah.
Was very into her energy. Also, I can't believe that she's a great aunt. Like, because when I think great aunt, I think like 80s?
Well,
above? She just seems very young and vibrant, much like all of us.
I thought she was an aunt. No, great aunt. You're right.
She's a great aunt.
Well, that would just mean that like it was your grandparents' sibling. But they could be much younger.
Yeah, that's true. But when he was talking to her and he's like, did I make this up in my head? Was this on the after show? When he said something along the lines of like, have you heard of Complex? And she's like, oh, the sports thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not sports, it's entertainment. That's when I knew he was getting that goddamn job. Because I was like, oh, you're already repositioning this channel or magazine. I don't know.
I follow him now on the internet, even though I don't usually follow people on these shows. Like
on the internet. I'm glad that you clarified. It wasn't down the street.
No, I just was like, because I was like, he works in media. So I feel like I could just follow him as a media person, even though I'm following him as a fan of the show Summer House.
Yeah, I don't think of him as I don't know what he does in media aside from saying
he does a lot of sports stuff. Like he talks.
Right.
He
or like entertainment is what he would like you to say. Pop culture.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I went through some of his tweets and I was like, he seems, it's scary to give your heart to a new man on a Bravo show because you never know.
It's a trust game.
But I was like, he seems pretty cool. I don't think it's necessarily going to end well.
Sierra.
Yeah.
I don't think he's looking for a commitment. I guess he's been like fucking other people or whatever. Maybe.
Right. And that's
not great.
No. No.
It's allowed because it's not like they're committed, but it's also like, why are you attracted to other people?
Also, like, did you watch the show or not? I never know with these shows because they don't always, like...
I think he did. I think they both did.
You think they watched the show before they came on? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's not going to be like, so I know what happened with you in Austin.
That's not affecting whether or not he's going to be, like, fucking someone.
No, but I just feel like it's important context and maybe why she wouldn't want to have another show relationship because of how that went down and like feeling stupid and seeing what Austin was doing.
She deserves so much.
Yeah, she's having a good season.
She really is. Have you ever heard of Supreme? No, but the modeling agency? Not Supreme the company.
Oh,
I think
no.
That's the contract that she signed was with Supreme
the
agency.
I'm sure it's good.
I mean, yeah.
No, she's having a good season.
She's killing it. She got
Paige is having a good season too.
Paige is having an incredible
Paige
season.
Paige and Craig being like the most normal couple. What a moment for them.
Can you imagine, no pressure if they're listening, but can you imagine their wedding special?
Yeah, because it'll be beautiful because they're both beautiful.
I but they're also beautiful people as people.
I
have so much faith in them.
But yeah, I'm glad we have new people we love. I'm glad that we have people we know who are having good seasons because I just think it's been tough. It's been tough. I really did not anticipate how volatile it was going to be for Carl and Lindsay or for Kyle and Amanda.
Yeah, the Kyle and Amanda stuff is like, this is one of those, not to compare it to Jax and Brittany, but the idea that like a person is going to grow out of who they are telling you that they are with time. I don't know. I guess some people get tired at a certain point, but like Kyle's idea of settling down as being seen as like for him settling versus what Amanda wants, which is just a little bit more consistent quiet, you know, like let's remove some of the stresses in my life, and living in New York City is a big one, is difficult to watch, but I think they'll figure a way through it because I do think that they love each other. And she's talked about the fact that she was kind of just going through a lot of stuff when they were taping, and also her upset that the way that Kyle defines her on the show is exactly in line with how viewers perceive her. So when he calls her lazy, when he says something else, it's not only harmful to her like as his wife, it's hurt because it's hurtful, but then viewers in her words, she's like, this is one of the things that I find really frustrating, is that like viewers then believe him. They always believe him when he speaks negative about me, and it is hurtful to her. And that I cannot imagine that. That's like a, you know, double whammy of upset about, you know, against your spouse.
I do think that it is normal, like a common experience, to date someone older and assume they're going to like settle down on your timeline, because she didn't imagine him being in his 40s and still being out till 4 a.m. Like, I think that I understand that I understand what she might have imagined there, basically. And I do wonder also what his lifestyle would be like if he weren't filming the show. But at the same time, he has an alcohol brand and he seems to really enjoy going out and not wanting to kind of like move to the suburbs and have a kid.
Yeah. And he is an extrovert and she's more of an introvert.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I think it's wild to watch, because should they have gotten married? Like they had that whole season where they seemed to really, really be struggling before they were going to get married. And it's like, now you're watching Carl and Lindsay go through this and you're like, thank God they didn't get married. Because when Amanda was that season, when Kyle was being like kind of awful and Paige was like, you don't have to do this, like
being a good
is it a happy ending that they ended up together, or is it like maybe they should have thought about this more, maybe they really do want different things? Because that seems like, yes, they love each other, but like if they could be fundamentally incompatible.
Well, shout out to Paige for saying that, because we all need and deserve to have a friend in our lives who's like, I can run away with you.
And
we
and I'm glad that they gave Lindsay the same kind of like.
Yeah, the way that the women have been supporting Lindsay, and I think some of that's in real time too, maybe, hopefully, is great to see. It's just, it's the ideal season in which for that to happen, because obviously we're watching a lot of darkness between Lindsay and Carl, although there's something soothing about knowing that they didn't get married and they're never going to get back together.
If I were watching this and they ended up getting married, I would feel
so upsetting,
horrible,
because I don't think it's apples to apples between the dynamics between the two relationships.
No, not at all.
I think that Kyle and Amanda have been able to grow in their relationships, and I think that there's definite potential for them to like work through some of what they're experiencing right now. I'm also confused, because on the after show, I don't know if this was a flyaway comment or not, but I don't know if it was Amanda saying it or Kyle saying it or both of them, but something along the lines of like, Kyle goes out 5 times a year. And when he goes out, he stays up until 4 a.m. And that's really upsetting. And I'm thinking to myself, how many days a year are there? If he's going out 5 times in a calendar year and he's staying out until 4 a.m., that's not many times.
That feels like that's not true because on the last episode, he was out till 4 and they had just been fighting about when he was recently out till 4.
So I don't know if they're naming the during production times.
It's
like 5 times. I'm thinking if it's once a quarter with a bonus.
Yeah, I do
times.
Think it's interesting. It's an interesting kind of context that she's also upset about how she comes across on the show, because it's like, am I going to be like, you know, this killjoy who's like, why are you out having fun? And I think it's, and she also was like, people always ask about him cheating, like think I'm not over him cheating on me, but it is real trauma that I have to like work past, and that it's
trust.
It's triggering for him to be out and that drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for both of them. Seeing him cry at the club was sad.
Mm.
And I also just feel like she just seems like she really, in many ways, like can't stand him. And sometimes you have times like that in a relationship, but it's still just like hard to watch. And her being like, I need a house where I can go away from was like, I get it. But also like, that's a heavy thing to say when your husband is sitting there.
Yeah. I mean... The thing that I'm really genuinely just so focused on is just truly all things Lindsay and Carl. And that, speaking of mid-season trailers, that end of that trailer when Kyle's like, you don't want to get married to her. And the look in Carl's face of like, I don't want to get married to her is so tough.
I don't think that either of them wants to marry. Like, I don't think Lindsay wants to marry Carl.
I think Lindsay wants to get married, and I need to shout out that wedding dress, which I've seen that wedding dress in the mid-season trailer a couple times. I saw it during this episode. It is so gorgeous, and we have seen so many terrible wedding dresses just as people on this planet and also on Bravo, and I know that like maybe emotionally this isn't a good idea, but you can make that into a cocktail moment. Like, it's so beautiful, and I'm glad that we're able to see it because she looks... like a beautiful, like, it's an impeccable look.
Very much wanted to
not a reason to get divorced,
be married, wanted to be a bride. Like, I get that part, but I don't think she likes Carl, and I don't think Carl likes her.
Well,
at this point in their lives and their dynamic, like, they seem to have so much resentment and disdain.
Well, there's a lot of frustration between them with Carl. It's the way that she treats him, including when she's intoxicated, but also not. It's, I think, frustration both of them share about Carl's ambition or direction, the difference between ambition and direction, and maybe both. And also the fact that they're not fucking is such a big problem. Like, that's a huge
issue
because they're not talking about it.
Right. That's what I was going to say. As I feel like
it's not like you can't go through periods.
I don't love the way sex gets talked about on most Bravo shows, where it's sort of like a contest to see who's fucking the most, where like every housewife's conversation around the dinner table is like, I have sex 5 times a night with my husband. Or, you know what I mean? That's very Larsa. But like,
does 4.
But so. She upped it, I thought.
She upped it to 5?
I thought she had said 4 with Scotty. Maybe she said 2 with Scotty and then upped it.
No, she said 4 with Scotty. Because it did not make sense. Where do you have the time? There's not enough time at night.
Whatever,
it's not even like you're not sleeping. It's just there's not, unless it's like 4 very short episodes, in which case that's not a lot to talk about.
It's like every time it slips out, you count it as a different time.
But the fact that Lindsay and Carl, I mean, there's this whole, I know what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is like, yes, I think that it's the not talking about it. There are so many reasons why people go through periods where they don't have sex.
But that's not what's happening here.
But they seem to both be unhappy about it and also not discussing it.
Correct.
And the way Lindsay was talking about it was like, basically like, either he can't get it up or he can't finish. Like, so he's not doing it because there's too much.
She said he's too inside of his head because he's putting too much pressure on himself because they're never having sex. So the few times have sex.
But she made it seem like it was specifically about getting off.
Neither of them came.
Right. No, I got that part. Yeah, I don't know. That kind of not having sex feels like it is symptomatic of.
Correct.
Like. That they don't fuck with each other in any respect.
Well, I mean, it's like they can't connect. And sex is a huge part. I'm not saying that like every person
needs, I get it.
We're not doing that. But with these two people, Lindsay is a sexual person. That's one of her love languages, yeah, is to like be physically intimate with her partner. I don't begrudge her for that. I completely understand and would be.
And I don't think Carl is not a sexual person, but right now he seems to not be, or with her, seems to not be.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't think that they were maybe ever really consistent in their relationship. I think that's going to come up at the reunion.
Yeah, I would
to
love
honest.
To. I think that definitely will be a question because like
I know it's worse now, but
when they first hooked up it was like the it seemed like a passionate moment because they weren't like on a date, they were like hanging out. You remember when they first hooked up?
I don't.
When he fingered her.
Oh, enough. We don't need to go back to that. That was so many seasons ago. Ew, Lewis.
My point...
Too explicit.
That's what they said repeatedly on the show.
All right, enough.
Summer House is a very sexually explicit show.
I just...
Enough. The point is...
I'm having tea right now.
The point is, it wasn't like they went out for dinner and like... It was like a moment of passion, a moment of like whatever. It was a moment of whatever. Like, I'm just saying, like, I feel like they had some sort of passion for each other that seemed like it was sexual passion.
Really passion. I mean, it's just kind of like a.
I guess. I don't know. They seem like they were. It's hard to say because, like,
it's not a base. It's like
last season. Last season was so dominated by Danielle and Lindsay's fallout that we didn't see that much of, like, mm-hmm. what was really going on between Carl and Lindsay.
Just a lot of babe.
A lot of babe. Yeah, I don't know. I think the timeline of all of it will come up during the reunion, including like when each of them realize this maybe wasn't going to work out. And it'll be interesting to see if Lindsay is going to frame it as, I just don't understand really her saying that they were in a, she felt like they were in a good place and was blindsided and doesn't understand what happened. Like, if that's truly what she believes, there is like a major disconnect there, or was that just what she said because she was playing the narrative a little bit and trying to kind of get ahead of it and trying to be like, you know, the wronged party here. And not to say that she's not at all a wronged party, but does she actually believe that, or was that something that she said with that intention?
And adding on top of that, maybe her idea of relationships look a little bit like this. So why would he end their dynamic? It's not that bad, you know? I don't know that she certainly wouldn't say that now.
Yeah.
But I think for Lindsay, the way that Lindsay views her own role in toxic relationships and in relationships, I think is really tough. But then I also think about, I don't know if Kyle said this or Carl said this or Lindsay said this, but at some point after the breakup, you know, in front of the cameras or whatever, somebody said something along the lines of like, Carl didn't expect for them to break up. He just wanted to delay or cancel the wedding.
Yeah, I think he had said that. Yeah.
Sir, how are you going through this summer, the way it's going, and wanting to continue in the relationship?
That feels more like kind of Carl being a very passive person, not wanting to be the one to like say that we're done forever. And so he finds a compromise of like, it's kind of like going on a break when you want to break up with someone is sort of what I think he was angling for, less because he actually thought they had a future together and more because he was afraid to bite the bullet.
Whatever consciously uncoupling is, they did not do that. They did the opposite of that.
They did the opposite of that, yeah.
And I do think Carl can be passive aggressive, and I think we're seeing that play out at points. And I just... It's tough to watch. And I really do feel for Lindsay with like the physical touch stuff and just elements here where he's just kind of a wandering soul and she wants someone who is maybe at a different point in their lives or careers or has a sense of drive similar to hers and Kyle's, maybe.
Yeah.
Is what she's looking
for. Well, they should end up together.
LOL, definitely not. But I just think like there's something nice to have a balance, but that's not an example of it. And at the end of the day, it's like the best way of knowing if someone is going to work out is like, well, are you still together? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
yeah, it's just, I think it's
this was so deeply not a good fit.
Yeah. I think it's hard because I do have a lot of compassion for her and I love Lindsay. I think she set herself up for a bad season when she started off with Cocaine Carl and accusing him of
repeatedly,
and then did not own it, and then did not properly apologize for it at all.
But I don't think she would now. She can't. She doesn't think she was wrong, I don't think.
Right. I'm just, yeah, I guess not. But I think that to that end, like, it's hard to come back from that. It's hard for me to watch the rest of the season and be like, I see they were both at fault, because I think they were both at fault for what went wrong. But I also feel like I'm not going to be able, I can't get past that she did that over and over again. And like, and maliciously, and telling other people, and, you know, on the cast and in front of the cameras, that like, it just was like a really bad look that happened more than, not just repeatedly over one night, but
with
then
multiple
again
people.
The next weekend.
With multiple people.
Yeah, like it's not, it's, that's like so hard for me to move past. And it's like, sure, maybe he was more of a dick in the car than he's letting on. Like, I can believe that. But there's nothing that justifies that, her response to me. Like, I can't quite forgive that.
Yeah, and also I think she's like sometimes in conversation with people when they're silent. Like, she's hearing stuff that's not.
Well, she's also
happening.
Yeah, she's also extremely defensive about her drinking and the fact that like she feels like he's judging her, and maybe he is judging her, but she's.
But his sobriety isn't a judgment. That's not a judgment upon her.
No, but she's taking it as that, and she's projecting a ton of that onto all of their interactions when he's sober and she's drunk. That she is like. She also is like, she's like fighting back because like he's calling her drunk is basically what she's saying, when I think what's happening is he's saying like, I want to talk when you're sober, because she's not being rational. And she's never been someone who is great when she drinks. Like, she does not, her, a lot of her fights on the show have been when she's been drinking, and she's not, I don't know if any of them are good fighters when they're drunk. But she can be, when she drinks, she can be hard to reason with.
She can also be that when she's not drinking.
Totally. But I think she, I don't know, I just think that she, it's like an added element there. I mean, a lot of people when they're, it's very hard to be in a relationship where one person is sober and one person is not, especially if you're filming a show where the non-sober person is drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you do that.
I don't know. I think that there have to be clear lines and boundaries of like in conversation between a couple, what makes you comfortable, what makes you uncomfortable. I think there has to be a lot of sensitivity there and a lot of grace on both sides.
Yeah.
And I don't think grace when I think of Lindsay.
No.
And with Carl,
and Carl's,
he has his own shit. Like, he's not, this isn't a guy who's like behaving and responding in a way that's perfect, but perfect isn't the standard. At all.
But he is so passive, and he is so, even when he's like making up with her, like when they were kind of talking, he does just want to make peace. Is he going to say to her, like, I actually am uncomfortable around you when you're drinking to that level, and like, it's a problem. He won't ever say that.
They're both in denial.
So I think like that's where the problem is on his end, is like, he probably is being judgy and passive aggressive when she's being whatever he reads as sloppy or, you know, too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And not articulating the real reason for that, which is that, like, not telling her that he is uncomfortable, but maybe acting in a way that she reads as judgmental.
It's just, I'm so curious for how the cast is going to respond to this at the reunion, because I actually think there's going to be some nuance there.
I think there's definitely
women are going to like step up in a way that they never have for Lindsay before, which I think will be really interesting. And I think that also there's just so many tough clips, Alins, that will be interesting.
And they,
like how
they
if
were,
she'll be responsive to what people are saying.
How does Danielle play it, right? Because she was so
She's
Lindsay
really careful.
And so like, you know, I can't believe Carl would do this. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like now that the season's actually airing, how does she play it? Like, is she really going to sit there and be like, Lindsay did nothing wrong? Or is she going to try to give a more balanced perspective? I think that that's the other part of it, is like, for a lot of these people, they're paying attention to fan reaction. And I don't think the fan reaction has been on Lindsay's side. So it's like,
It was initially
for sure, because she said she was blindsided. And I fully believe that version of events.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Carl, for some horrible, malicious reason, called cameras over to dump her on camera, and like, how could he do that? And I was like, there's no way I'm gonna watch this and end up being not on her side. And then, like, the first episode aired, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I was hasty. And you also get, also watching it, why he called cameras.
Oh, you had to.
He, of course. And I think that, like, the fact that so many of their fights where she was alleging he was behaving a certain way that he says he was not...
Are off camera.
Like, I think he absolutely had to. So it's like, yeah, I get it. And also, like, think it would be awful to end an engagement on camera. Like, and whether or not she was blindsided... She probably didn't think it was going to go there. I don't think she thought that he was going to call off the wedding. After people's deposits were already...
They still had their honey fund up for at least days after the breakup. Because, well, I kept checking their wedding website.
Because he had to take it down. It's like he was the one who had to like do all that stuff and then didn't, right?
I forget. Someone sent an email.
Because we read it.
Because it was...
No, Carl sent an email, but it was like days later. Because he...
Yeah, there was some deadline that lapsed in between. I don't know if it was in between.
That's
the
why
breakup
some of them, some people went to who went to who
his,
ended up going.
His mom
didn't Sheena go?
Maybe
someone from Vanderpump Rules. I feel like it was Sheena.
Probably
like went and took a picture.
And his mom was there as well. I mean, if you're gonna, I'm not gonna lose. No, I'm going on that vacation.
Of course, Lindsay went on her. Was it her bachelorette?
Oh, bachelorette, maybe.
She went on some trip with her friends that like was supposed to be with him or either with him or for the wedding.
The fact that he even let it get to the point of having a shower is nuts. The fact that we have shower coverage of her bridal shower with his like vacant ass look is wild.
It's all so...
He thought time is going to stand still. And it's like, sweetie, no, it's pitter-pattering on.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's THEOUAI.com with promo code Andy. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going through his head. I don't know, like, you can be in such deep denial. You really can. And I do think that he clearly believed they were going to get married and that it was going they were going to make it work. And she on some level did too, but it's like, even like you can be an outside observer. You could see so little of this and see why it's never going to work out. Like, it's not hard to, like, you don't have to know them well. You don't have to see a long clip. You can tell that they are so, so incompatible.
I think she was in denial. I think he was in fear.
So you think that he wanted to end it sooner and just didn't know how?
100%. And didn't know. Yeah. He didn't know how to form an exit strategy and what that would look like.
I guess I would agree with that to an extent, but I also feel like, no, you're probably right. I think he wasn't in denial
throughout the summer. He obviously is.
Yeah, but. I think there's an element of denial, certainly, but I think you're right that it is, like, a lot of it is that for someone who doesn't like confrontation.
Yeah.
Knowing that this is going to be explosive.
Yeah. She let her have the shower. Right. She shouldn't have had. I don't know the timing of the breakup to the shower. I don't know the timing of the shower to anything else. Maybe it happened earlier than I'm thinking, but I think the shower is pretty late because I think she told us that at one point post breakup.
I thought that happened. I feel like there was coverage of the shower before.
We saw it in the mid-season trailer. We're gonna see it.
No, I mean like.
Oh, people. No, I think like it might have been in the Nick Viall episode. Well, whatever. After the breakup.
It was definitely not long from when it all ended.
I just think let's not have her be surrounded by her family thinking that something is going to happen if you know that it's not. But he might not have known that it's not. But then it's like, when was the thing with Kyle timed of like you making the look of like, I don't want to be married anymore.
But I guess like,
but it's a process. But it doesn't happen immediately.
To me, then like, does he know that his face read that way when Kyle asked him that? We'll have to see how the scene plays out, because like,
I think yes,
because we have the same question being asked to Lindsay. You know what I mean? That seems like that's part of, you know what I wonder is I'm like, if I'm Paige and Craig, I mean, to be so lucky, and thinking about like, what would it look like if we got engaged and had it, like, do you think that they think about like what a season like that would look like? And if they would feel either pushed to fight, but like being on a show like this kind of exposes things about your relationship that maybe you don't want to have out there, that you are having maybe louder, more public fights than most people ever have. Do you think that's consideration for a couple on reality TV like this?
Not more than what they've already done, which has been some sort of something, which was discussed a little bit, I think, by, couldn't have been Shep, but by somebody on Southern Charm, of like, they don't need to necessarily get into the mud as much as we do in showing our, I guess, scars.
Yeah.
And they have figured out, or maybe they just have a extremely healthy relationship. A part of having a healthy relationship is knowing how to fight. If you're not ever fighting with your partner, then okay. But for a lot of people, that's not necessarily not fighting. It's just like fighting silently. And that usually doesn't produce a less, that usually produces a less than ideal response, ultimately, if you like have. And maybe they've figured out a way to like fight in a way that feels like healthy and emotionally safe for them.
Yeah, and we've seen them fight.
Yeah, and they've been able to focus on other aspects of their relationship, because there's always going to be, there or currently is a level of tension there in who, where are we going to live?
So it's like the Golden Bachelor.
Which, okay.
Did you see that there? You saw that they're getting divorced.
First thing I saw when I woke up.
Great.
And I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch The Golden Bachelor. Either. But then I thought to myself, when The Golden Bachelor was coming up, I was like, oh, I might watch this. And I absolutely did not watch a single second of it. Oh, did I watch? Maybe I watched an episode, but I forget. And it was probably like very late in the game. So they did this whole fucking announcement on GMA of like, we couldn't figure out where we were going to live, so now we're getting a divorce. And he's already filed. He filed today.
There was a story, I was
Hollywood Reporter expose on Jerry, Gary, whatever fuck his name is. And I'm thinking to myself, I think his wife, whose name I don't know, but is not Jerry or Gary, figured out who this guy fucking is. Because the Hollywood Reporter expose is like, very bad of him.
But they appeared on the interview being like, we're still best friends.
Sure. What else are you going to say?
I don't know. I just was thinking about the,
you don't like, hurt each other's reputation.
There was an article about them like a week ago in like the tabloids being like, they still don't live together. And it was
I think that triggered a like, are we going to say something? Anywho.
But yeah, Paige and Craig. My point is more like,
they have an existing tension.
Right.
So it doesn't look pristine. And that is important for the purposes of production, storyline, and also their relationship.
Yeah.
And
I just wonder,
and it's real.
If you've seen now two seasons of this show leading up to big weddings, where both times someone is like, there's,
what's the other big wedding?
Kyle and Amanda.
Oh. Okay.
I'm saying that both of those seasons had a ton of conflict between the couple getting
married.
And a friend coming in and being like, are you sure you want to do this? And Kyle and Amanda obviously did get married. Carl and Lindsay did not.
Doublos.
But I feel like if I'm Craig and Paige, am I like, do I want to have a season like that? Are you confident that you wouldn't have a season like that?
I'm very confident, as they are, that they are not Kyle or Amanda or Lindsay or Carl, and have a very different relationship than both of those relationships.
Yeah, I'm not saying
I don't
that,
think they're feeling a pull of performing drama. I think that they are both very charismatic, and no part of their stardom on Bravo is associated with producing drama at that level. It used to be for Craig used to be kind of a piece of shit, and has grown in such an incredible, shocking way. Frankly, he's like in my, I mean, top 10 Bravo Lebs, top 5 of non-housewives.
Yeah.
It's him and like the cast of Married to Med, you know, and also the Married to Med husbands. So it's
Eugene,
a top 5 that's like actually.
Dr. Eugene.
I mean, Dr. Eugene, Daddy. I mean, Cecil. I can't get enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, Yeah, I don't think that they're feeling the pull or pressure of that. I think that they've been in this game long enough and also know where their power and success comes from. And I don't think it's appearing perfect, which is important for them.
Okay, here's the other side of that I would ask.
Helpful for them.
Do you think that for these couples who are fighting the way they are, like Kyle and Amanda or Carl and Lindsay, how much of that do you think they're maybe excusing either like subconsciously or directly as being something that happens when you're making reality TV, that there's a level of conflict that happens that is probably not going to happen when you don't have cameras there?
I don't know that it's the level of conflict itself. I think it's the fact that you can't get away from it. Is that like when you are on TV and TV has the ability to like capture and make permanent a terrible moment that would just be a memory is now content that lives forever and is also a way for people to identify you years after the fact.
Yeah.
That is very difficult. I don't think it's the moment itself where it's like, this is only happening because of reality TV, although the bubble of filming is real and certainly provides in and of itself a certain level of tension. But also on fact of that, in addition to that, rather, the fact that you can never get away from it.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the show is to ensure that you never get away from it.
Yeah. And maybe it's more something that's like kind of a housewife's thing of like some of them, I feel like, treat what happens on the show as more of a performance and like maybe don't want to act like that off camera. Like, I'm thinking about people like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, Jen Aiden is someone who always gets kind of called out for
being fake,
but it's like,
and I don't mean that as an insult, but like taking stuff to a level where she's like a little more normal, calmer off camera. But it's she
like some housewives who have a lot of conflict with each other, and then off camera they're not hanging out, but they're not like, they're kind of both treating each other like professionals who are doing their job.
Okay.
Maybe that's more of what I'm thinking about. Okay. But I think it doesn't quite work with a show like Summer House, where it is more about real relationships. Where like I don't think that Kyle and Amanda probably aren't thinking about this as like we're fighting. They're not thinking about making good TV.
I mean, what I would like with the evolution of the show is to really get into, and I don't know if people are going to hate this idea, but I mean, welcome to taking it personally. Take it personally or not. I like the idea, or would love the idea, of them doing a little more city content. Because
they've been doing a lot more.
I know, which I really enjoy. And I think let's grow that, because people are going to change and evolve. And also, we want to believe that some of these relationships are real, including like Sierra and Wes. And so let's explore what's going on between them when they're not in the summer house. Like if they're staying in touch, what conversations their friends are having. Like, I think that's really important. I also think that helps the cast members maybe trust each other, that it's not like you just show up on the weekend and people are going to be like swearing and losing their shit against you. The fact that there can be growth and connection that happens LOL during the week.
Yeah.
When they are living a life closer to the one that they would otherwise off camera live.
I wonder if eventually Summer House will have a spinoff like The Valley, where it's like New Jersey.
I've always wanted Summer House, like, what was it, Fall? How, I don't even know, City Life or whatever it was. There was an idea that I had forever ago that I said on a pod. Like, I want that. I want that. I would like to have the best of both worlds.
I just think in a similar way to Vanderpump Rules, though, is some of them like Kyle can do whatever he wants, whatever age he is, but there might be a sense of like, if he does eventually want to settle down, like, what does that look like for TV? Like,
I don't think it's settling down. I think it's like if they have kids. I think that's the moment in which it might not be the best fit for them to be doing Summer House.
Weston, Jesse Solomon can be the future of Summer House.
I love them both so much. I really, truly love to life, L'Chaim. Like, I really do. And as a Sarah Galley, who's really not a Sarah, I'm a Galley or a Sarah Galley, just the connection I feel to Jesse Solomon, not just in our religious faith, but how we identify as a first name, last name. It's not one or the other. It is, well, it could be the other if it's the last name. It can be either. I respond to everything, but I'm a Sarah Galley at heart. I've always been. So I love that. And I love him. And on the after show, he talks about the testicle that was introduced after
the fake one.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so
I was like, where are we going with this?
He's just so wonderful.
I do miss Gabby. I don't understand.
You can't miss her if you're watching the after show, because she's a big fucking part of it.
Well,
but
I think it's unfortunate because she was a good ally for Lindsay. Lindsay's found other allies, which is great.
Yeah.
She was a good ally for Lindsay, who also was like not, felt a little bit more comfortable speaking honestly about what was going on and kind of trying to reason with Lindsay. Whereas I feel like Danielle is still feeling like she can't say anything because of what happened last season.
Gabby does have a more than a little bit of a yes man energy on the after show with some of the Lindsay stuff. Yeah.
Well,
but it is what it is. That might be the nature of their relationship. And it's also like, this is how I'm going to support my friend.
Well, I think also watching these episodes back, like, it's probably hot. Like, maybe she just wants to be the person who is she doing it with Lindsay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's she gonna say?
What can you do? Yeah.
But I think that, like, when she was talking to Lindsay in her room about like something with Carl and just kind of trying to be voice of reason, whereas like Danielle isn't going to say shit at this point because she tried to speak up about concern she had. And I do think Danielle last season was wacky behavior. I don't think that, like, I don't put that all on Lindsay. I think Danielle was doing a lot.
I heard Danielle on Winter House was like a fucking mess.
It was very, very hard to watch.
Really? Can you give it a little bit of a summary? I haven't seen it, obviously.
Just like typical, and I know I just talked about Joe doing this and feeling compassionate, but just typical, like, hooking up with like a fuckboy and then being like shocked by any fuckboy behavior. But it was like, it was to a really
bad degree
of, like, also because she was clearly not over her breakup and was like, I'm gonna rebound with this like deckhand.
What?
He's a deckhand
from Below Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Is on Winter House. I don't know how the world
Winter
works.
House, like, last,
what were you thinking of?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's a deckhand.
Okay, yeah.
Winter House last season was like a, you know, they started off being like as a crossover between Summer House and Southern Charm.
Okay.
And Vanderpump Rules, I guess, was not.
Oh, okay.
But they added
new people who haven't
been on Below
anything.
Deck and then, like, okay. Karma.
Okay.
It was basically like Girls Trip, but for the, I think Andy calls them the kids shows, like the ones with, like, even they're again 40, but like the younger shows. It was like a Girls Trip for that. It was like, here are all these people.
And then there were also people who hadn't been on anything. One. Were just like, there was more than one person.
There was one person.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen a single episode, but
there was one person who had never been on anything.
Who?
What's her name? She was Danielle's friend.
But Jason from Winter House.
Oh, sorry. Last season, I mean.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I'm saying in the history of it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. There were more people. Last season, though, it was all, there was one new person. Casey, was that her name? Yeah. There was one new person. And then everyone else was from either Winter House, and they were like introduced as like Winter House, Summer House, Below Deck Med, Family Karma. Like, it was very, and that's why, that part of why it was such a bad season, because it doesn't actually work to, unless you really break the fourth wall, you cannot pretend that you know each other and have met outside of BravoCon.
Like, yeah, it's too big brother.
It was the Below Deck people were the most out of place because, like, they work on boats.
And there's,
like,
no ship there. There's no yacht.
But they were in Colorado, which is where a lot of them live for some reason, including Captain Sandy. So she was also on the show.
Yacht people also live in, like, Florida, I think.
So yeah, that makes sense. But Colorado confused me because there's, where do they go?
Mountains. Maybe you take a ship on a mountain. Who might say?
There were a lot of, apparently, deckies in Colorado.
That does remind me of something that I've been thinking about over the course of the last several episodes of Summer House, but I guess ever since the beginning, which I'm extremely into, which is the fact that until the end of Summer House, the editors are going to use a lower third like every other scene. So we're going to see that Lindsay is an influencer.
So
we're going to see that, I don't even know, Wes is like unemployed. We're going to see that, whatever it is, the fact that they need to do, because it's a joke. It's a joke.
It's
to
so
us.
Funny. Well, I think it's interesting because some of them do have real jobs. I think the reason Gabby's not on the show is because she has another job.
Oh, true.
And I think that, like, Wes is, like, I think they're not like Wes quit his job to do Summer House.
But the fact that they need to remind the audience every 15 seconds of, like, this is Lindsay. Well,
The Lindsay switch is, like, when was the last time Lindsay was doing PR work?
Well, that's the whole thing, is that, like, she doesn't, because she's someone who needs, and this is not an insult, but she's now a celebrity. She needs PR. She's not a PR person. She's not supporting someone who needs attention or press. She's now in that position, and good for her.
No, I think that, but that's what I mean. Like, you probably could say influencer about many of them at this point, because they probably make more money from brand deals.
Pages, I'm assuming Pages is like maybe content. I forget what, content creator
something.
Podcast?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, she.
The irony here is that I'm talking about them posting it every 15 seconds. Now I can't remember what any of them are.
Lindsay's, because it was a change and it was like a plot point. Even though I think that's the other thing where I'm like, I wish we could get a little bit more fourth wall breaking again, which I know that there's a limit to it, but I'm like, they make money from the show. Like, Carl is not unemployed. He's on a reality show.
That's always the thing that's like so tough when they get made fun of for not having a job. And it's like, you have a job.
I also understand frustration with him not having direction. Yeah. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're acting like he has a job and he does events for Loverboy, not because he's like an expert in Loverboy, but because he is a draw for people. He is a personality, a TV personality.
And I'm glad that he and Kyle are working together again. And I'm glad that it sounds like Carl's work for Loverboy and with Kyle is going to be as an influencer. It's not going to be like the person trying to sell however many cases to whomever, because I don't think that's
and as a sober influencer, which I think is like a market that is people are more interested in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to him about this at Reality Live last year.
Yeah,
it was myself and who was I with? And Carl, and we were saying to him like, why aren't you working? It was so obvious to so many of us, including I'm sure Carl, but. You know, at that point with Kyle, they weren't in a good place.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to figure out how to do it.
Carl will stay sober. Luann had her sober champagne and then like started drinking again. So it was kind of
she still does the I think it was a champagne or rosé.
It was champagne. Oh, maybe it was rosé.
But they also have very different the way that identity was used with the lieu of it all because it was a court situation.
Totally.
And then she was cast members were telling her she didn't need to be sober and didn't have a drink problem, which is very complicated because this woman was just arrested for like drunken like assault against a police officer and everything else. It's
very different.
I'm
glad Carl is sober.
Yeah,
I'm glad James Kennedy is sober.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I think that anyway the Carl
Lala. Sober.
Lala being sober, yeah.
Extremely important. Great. Almost 5 years. Incredible.
Yeah.
I would go to a water tasting.
Well, I would not because I think that water stuff is bullshit, but it was kind of fun to watch.
So were a lot of tastings.
Totally. But I think that like...
I wouldn't pay for it, but I would.
I think the bottled water industry is kind of evil. So like, it's okay. More... Not to like... We don't have to
I'll invite some trees. It's fine.
You'll invite some what?
Trees or whatever. It's fine.
I just like, we should be investing in clean tap water for everyone. Anyway, the point is, I would go to something dumb like that probably though. Let's
all right,
be honest.
Well, if I come into contact with $1,000 bottle of water, I guess I know who's
I
not
did love
want to
Katie
attend.
Being like, it's just water. Those.
I love it. I love the idea of it.
Katie, voice of reason.
God bless. And let us say amen.
I hope that our voice of reason on Summer House Gabby comes back soon because I think she was good for the show. It makes me sad that she's sort of being like, I guess it's by her own choice, but she feels like she's being pushed out.
I don't think it's by her own choice entirely.
I feel like she's being pushed out. I don't like it.
I think that, I don't know. I don't know if it was a numbers game with the size of the cast. I really don't know.
Well,
she feels like a friend of, and not even that, it's like a cameo, because I can't remember the last episode she was on. Was it like a couple ago?
She's missed two, I believe.
Feels like much more than that, but...
I do think there's a budget component to it, but it's also like, they all miss weekends. I think the question is, some of them FaceTime in, and I think they get paid when they... I don't know exactly how it works, but I think if they're on
Someone
camera...
Someone should have FaceTimed her.
But that's what I mean, like, was it even an option? Or did they edit it out? Because I think they pay you based on... I think they pay you if you're in the episode or not. So I think it's possible that even if she had FaceTimed in, if they include it, they wouldn't pay her.
I 100% think it's a budget issue because we've heard that from previous Summer House people who get pushed out because they're like, they didn't, you know, they stopped asking me to film essentially. Yeah. So
it is confusing because of the, which I know we touched on the last episode about the friend of versus full-time thing and how weird it is that like, Gabby is full time, but not.
We deserve to see her on more. She deserves to be.
That
on
happened
more.
Last season too, but I can't remember who it was with.
Maybe
the new
guy.
Maybe
she was at a wedding. Maybe they did explain it.
I think they have explained it. There are reasons why. Was it Chris last season? I think he was gone for like 2 weeks. No, maybe it was two seasons ago. It was one of the new guys they added.
Regardless,
Alex, I think that was who it was gone for like 2 or 3 weeks. And people were like, he's been edited out of the show. But I don't know if it's something that happens while they're editing or if it's like...
No, I think some of it is like, you're not... We don't have the budget for you. Right
yeah.
Now. So hopefully she'll be back. She'll definitely be at the reunion.
I doubt she's making that much.
None of them are making that much money.
I would be interested to know how much Carl and Lindsay are making.
Carl and Lindsay and Kyle are
but still not
Paige.
But I would still guess like not Housewives numbers.
No, but they're making hundreds of thousands.
Sure.
But
that's probably how much the new New York houses are making.
I don't know how much new New York is making.
No, I mean, minus Jenna. Can't up with that can of worms.
No, we can't go there. But how are you feeling? How are you feeling about all of New York coming back?
Fine. Confused.
I feel cautiously optimistic about it.
They do need to add someone else for sure.
Oh my God. They need to add two people.
And I think that they've all put in the work of like hanging out outside of filming, where I'm like, I believe they now have real relationships. Mm-hmm. And like, I do think that last season, it kind of worked in their favor that they started filming and then had to kind of pick up again. Mm-hmm. So they had a little bit of backstory, mm-hmm. but it did feel like the people had never met before sometimes, where they were like, where Jenna was like, I don't know these people. I don't want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't really know you. Like, I just feel like now they have enough grounding that I think it could be a much stronger season.
And it did not start off well. I mean, one of the cast members who was cast quit the show within weeks of filming. So without hopefully having that happen again, let's see how their, casting and energies and chemistry comes together.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm optimistic. I think it's been kind of nice to have a Housewives break. There was just so much at once. I don't understand why it happened the way it did. We talked about this like months ago when I was on here.
You told me it was going to happen.
I was like, we're going to have, but even now we're kind of in a weird place. We're going to have Jersey and then we're going to have Dubai, which like, I don't think anyone's excited about. Sorry.
Did you watch the trailer?
I did. I don't remember anything that happened last season because it was 2 years ago. So I don't give a shit. And like, I super don't care. I will watch it because I watch all Housewives, but I'm not excited about it. Like, we're not going to get, like, what I'm excited about is, like, I'm excited for Jersey. I'm excited for OC, but that's going to be many
years
months from now.
Yeah.
God, I need it.
I need it so bad. Everyone I talked to about it, I need it immediately.
I just, like...
Shannon losing her shit with Tamara in London. Oh, God, that video.
It's so funny because I heard the audio and I was like, this could be a fight from any season of Shannon being
we're
like,
so lucky.
You get drunk and say mean, like horrible mean shit. And it's Tamara being like, I'm sorry. And it's like,
I love him so much.
It's played out a bajillion times.
I can't wait.
But like, Roni's not going to be back for it till like end of year. You know what I mean? Like we're.
That's optimistic.
Yeah. If
they
that,
just started. It, yeah.
It's just like, we're even if we have Housewives again, we're not going to have like, why did they air like four at once? Like why? Because now I feel like we're in a weird...
They should not have had Miami and Beverly Hills overlap in that way, because it was
not fair to Miami.
It really wasn't. And I hated it as a podcaster because I was like, fucking Kyle Mauricio, keep dragging me in. And so then I can't get out of it. But Miami deserved more than that.
It really did. No, And then Miami rumored on a pause, which I choose not to believe.
Well, allegedly there's like casting changes.
I choose not to believe it.
It's a psychotic decision.
I don't acknowledge it, so it's not... My thing about Bravo rumors is I believe the ones that I want to believe, and I ignore the ones that I don't like.
Can I ask you a complicated question?
Yeah.
How do you have any kind of reaction to the idea, which might change? I get to decide without shame. Normally, I change your mind based on new information. New information might be me changing my mind about me not covering Dubai specifically because of upset about what some of the cast members have shared on social. As a Jewish content creator?
Yeah, I think that... I haven't looked into what everyone said. I know that the person who said the thing that was the most problematic is not on the show anymore.
Yeah, shout out Nina.
I don't remember their names. I mean,
it's better not to. Hashtag never forget.
I feel like...
Such a piece of shit.
I think any reason you don't watch is totally valid. Like, I think for me, I'm just like... I didn't like the show from the start. I think it's overly produced. I think that it's like does not feel like Housewives to me. I think it's like very like I think Chanel Ayan is like she's a star, but she's also a star who's watched every Housewives and is like performing Housewives. Caroline Stanbury, I love Ladies of London, but like she's not really a housewife. She doesn't really know how to do it. She just doesn't like anyone ever. It's just like I don't enjoy watching it. And I feel like the delay has only hurt it. And there's no interest. I think for you, to me, it's not a moral question. It's more of a comfort, like a personal comfort question. Mm-hmm. But I don't, maybe you check it out and you see if it's worth talking about.
Yeah. I feel in the way that I was very uncomfortable with platforming Kelly Dodd right. during what she said. And I honestly, and I said it on the pod at the time, that it wasn't, it was just, I would be doing a disservice to listeners and even trying to unpack it, because I would be so distracted and pulled in different directions of like what she was saying in real time that I didn't think I would be able to focus on the show. And now I'm thinking about and planning to watch that season and talk about it on upcoming AG episodes. But like with that same thinking of discomfort, if a current housewife is posting about, you know, Jews running the banks and owning the media, and that being why people aren't speaking out, I really have a extreme issue with the fact that the network has done absolutely nothing. And like, you can argue about what Kelly was, but Kelly was fined. Like, Kelly lost her job ultimately. Like, it's just not, I'm very uncomfortable with the network's discomfort in allowing a certain level of ignorance to be shared on social media with no pushback or acknowledgement, and doing that against one marginalized community. But not.
Yeah. And it goes beyond that too with Dubai, because the whole thing of like the show is also an ad for Dubai. And so when they talk about how
super problematic,
when they talk about how gay people are treated there, and they're trying to basically paint this picture of like, you know, it's a progressive community where no, you, of course you can't like ever hold hands with someone of the same gender in public, but like
you can't marry someone outside of you're literally, I mean, not allowed to.
It's just like
outside of your faith.
There's an element of that, and of not probably wanting to anger the government of the UAE, that there's like
that Bravo is feeling about, yeah, saying like anti-Semitism isn't great.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
I think that's some like inner Bravo stuff I think that they need to unpack in Bravo therapy.
Yeah, I think that I often think that Bravo worries about where the line is. Where to me, it's usually pretty clear, but I do think for them, it's like that they cast people on these shows. It's like Anna Marie, not to ever mention her name again, but like, I often wonder, like, did they want to say anything about any of this, or were they like, we can't even go there because it opens a can of worms?
Well, it was allegedly anything that was said or might have happened was edited out. Yeah. So, yeah, like, if there was any kind of conversation, it's
interesting.
About
it is interesting. It is interesting to me
episodes.
that the Valley has had such a, like a political fight so early, because I feel like they do avoid that. Like, we got the Kavanaugh fight on Beverly Hills,
but the Valley fight is so stupid and like ridiculous.
It is, but the don't say gay part is like
100% very serious.
And I think that like, but even bringing that up, even being like this cast member supported that bill is kind of surprising given how much of the fan base is queer, even though like I think
where they live,
politically, like a pretty, there's a wide spectrum of Bravo viewers. Certainly. Mm-hmm. I think like, I would say most of them lean toward being LGBTQ friendly.
Totally.
And so I was surprised that that was even part of the conversation.
But I don't think, I wasn't surprised, because the overwhelming response from the cast is we disagree with that opinion. So it wasn't kind of,
I thought Janet's whole thing of like an algorithm was like, I got what she was saying, but I was like, you could say that about, mm-hmm. You said about any sort of political view or
doesn't make it untrue
post
though.
No, not at all. But it's like
the misinformation of it all.
I think it's very true and very real. But I also feel like, I mean, not to get into
don't
this.
Take
it's
away just, a person's ownership from choosing just, to right, have a political opinion. Right, don't like, say it's like, just misinformation right. and take away their autonomy of choosing to.
Right. Like, yeah. I think it's just like, because you said that about any of the stuff you see online that's homophobic or anti-Semitic or all of it, like many of those people weren't born with that hate in their hearts, but they followed some algorithm there. And I think to be like, you should make this a teachable moment to your queer and black coworker. Or I guess they weren't on the show together at that point. It was pre-show.
Who are you talking about?
Jasmine.
Oh,
but also, but both of them.
Okay.
Zach, is that his name?
Yeah, I don't remember anybody's name on the Valley.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're both queer, the friends of.
Correct.
And she told them to make it a teachable moment, basically, for Michelle.
Okay.
This is like a long-winded tangent. I just thought it was a weird response to be like, it's an algorithm and you should, like, she fell into a bad algorithm and maybe if she brings this up again, you should like explain to her why.
Taking away a person's autonomy and making a decision.
And putting the onus on
other people,
the queer cast members to like have teach to her.
Right. No, yeah. 100%.
Anyway, about Dubai. Mm. Yeah, I think it's, if I were you,
okay,
I would watch it and see, maybe even like record an episode by yourself and see how it goes. And if you feel like you're it's going in a direction you don't like, you can just not.
The idea of watching it makes me sick.
Then don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm just so upset.
Then don't watch it and watch Jersey.
I hope it dies a quiet death. I hope Dubai, but there's so much money invested in it, which I assume that Bravo paid a very small amount of. And I don't want to see the repugnant views. I don't want to see be celebrated. And Dr. Sarah is like a horrible, heinous person who has said violent things on social media and should be ashamed of herself. And of course isn't, and gets to be a reality TV star, and God bless her. And where's the fucking diploma from? Where did she go to school?
We already know she's on The Doctor. She's a fake doctor.
I know, but nobody on the show's talked about that.
Well, they should, because she's a doctor.
As a doctor of life, I got a PhD in talking shit, and I'll take my diploma against hers any day. Annoyance.
I hope that...
Anyway.
Dubai aside, I hope that Bravo is thinking about, like, how are we filling these gaps? Because I really don't feel like I'm in safe hands anymore with programming. I feel like they...
With the schedule?
Or back to calendar? Like, I feel like I'm kind of like, what are we doing? Like,
they really fucked up with Miami.
They fucked up with Miami, but I'm also like...
Miami deserves
so much
more.
Are they really not investing in shows that would be cheaper? There are Housewives shows they could do that are cheaper than Dubai that they could do here.
But I don't know how much money they're really genuinely spending on Dubai. I think Dubai is like a co-production. I think it's like Dubai being like, hey, you know, we'll do you a solid if you do us a solid and figure out a way to have.
I'm just saying, like, all these cities that have been rumored forever to do a new Housewives, like, do they not want to do that? Like, are we like, what are we doing here if we feel like, especially when shows are kind of not running their course, but hitting a point where they need to be long breaks because they're not working. So like Atlanta, Potomac, we'll see what happens. It feels like that could possibly be a show that gets a break in addition to casting changes. Miami's apparently, you know, on some sort of break. Like,
better not be.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, then what are we going to put on television? Like,
but this is only happening right now. It's not like there's been a record of there being huge gaps. This is the first substantial gap to me of like, what the fuck am I going to watch?
But I'm saying, when is this going to how is it going to change if they're not
They are filming. What we're going to happen is, I don't want it to be like 4 and nothing.
Yeah.
Or like 4 and 1. They're filming Orange County. They're going to figure out Beverly Hills soon enough.
Orange County should almost be done.
Oh, God bless. Please, please, God. And New York, they're filming now. New Jersey is about to start. Potomac, they're, I assume, going to take a little bit of a pause. Atlanta is it not filming? It has to be filming.
They just announced Kenya today. So.
Which surprises literally nobody. It would have been... honestly, a criminal charge if Kenya had not come back.
I don't think they're going to start. They're probably going to start filming very soon, but it hasn't started yet, I don't think.
Well, they need to figure that shit out quick because so much going on with Simon. We need to hear about that while the iron is still hot. Like, but I mean.
I'm sorry, but Portia left the show to avoid talking about it. So now she has to talk about it a lot.
I don't think she's going to have any issue talking about it. Because now it's not going to be like everything is wonderful all the time. And
do you think Kenya's going to bring Fallon back? Because it just felt like because when that happened and she left the show, I was like, you know that Kenya would have brought Fallon next season, like brought her in and been like,
Fallon. Maybe there could be like a real like, you know, who broke the girl code, Simon. Like maybe there can be like a real like. Sort of come to Jesus conversation. Maybe not, honestly, because I think Portia's going to feel a level of like defensive about that happening. But like maybe it could be okay of like, listen, we both agree he's a piece of shit. Like, let's turtle time. Like, that's possible.
That'd be fine. Let's see what happens.
I want to see a healthy kind of like maybe tension or whatever else, or like we'll fuck with each other a little bit. But I want to see Kenya and Portia get along. I really do need it. I need it. And Mark's a piece of shit, so they have bond over. They both have super cute little girls. Like let's see the, you know, parenthood journey as single parents, figuring out how to, well, not co-parent because Portia doesn't have a child with Simon, but just like extricate herself from that situation and just keep it moving.
Well, I'm excited to have more Housewives to watch at some point. But like I said, I am enjoying...
Salt Lake City filming.
Oh, they're filming now. I am enjoying... a little bit of a break, and I do feel like Vanderpump Rules, even though it's not a great season, and The Valley and Summer House deserve kind of the attention that they might not get otherwise.
How do you feel about those episodes being on Taking It Personally and not Andy's Girls? Does that impact you as an AG?
No.
Okay.
Because I like the theme song.
Oh, and again, full circle. Shout out to T. Kyle. Listen, Louis Peitzman, thanks so much for coming on, for recording today and every day that you're here for at least 9 to 15 hours. I'm so appreciative. When I say just one more thing, let's have an existential crisis about just
I brought up Dubai. This is on me.
Did you bring up Dubai?
Yeah, I brought up Dubai.
Well, yeah, I guess it is your fault. So tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social.
At Louis Peitzman on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd are the ones that I use.
Fabulous. And guys, have you joined the AG Patreon? Number one way to support the pod. I almost said cod, but I'm a vegetarian. I don't know fish. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, including a two-part, two-hour-long Satchel Spectacular, unpacking your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things VPR, Lala, Ariana, Sheena, Katie, certainly mentioned it all. Almost 30 satchels over the course of that two-part, two-hour-long Satchel Spectacular. So you can listen to those episodes and so much more at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram and allegedly threads at Dame Galley. Louis Peitzman, thanks so much for coming back on.
Thank you.
All right, I'll see you next week. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.